When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 335 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Whitney.
Thanks
Whitney.
Thank you, Whitney.
So today, we're actually moving on!
Woo!
There are other parts to this book besides Creature's Tale! I feel like all we've talked about for months, literally, is Creature's Tale.
Yeah.
Because it was regular episodes and Felix Files.
Yeah, you're right.
Was that really the last chapter we recorded?
No.
We no.
Had the Bribe.
But the Bribe was so short.
Yeah, in comparison.
It was still just...
Yeah.
Valid. It was still just so much. Okay.
Okay.
So we are discussing part one of chapter 12.
That's magical.
Grim Old Place?
Ah,
nice.
Of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Magic is might. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to plan your way through the details.
Nice.
Yeah. It's time. I have two microphones now.
Fair
claw.
That was gorgeous.
It was just, you know.
Did your eyes not water?
No.
Because if Meg were to do that.
My eyes always water.
She'd be
water.
Crying.
You get so why. Emotional about singing. I don't know.
So passionate. Mine do that too when I do like a really weird voice. I don't know. That was so loud, the audio cut.
Oh. I aim for that. I aim to blow mics out.
Well, you know what that means. That's a bingo square.
Nah, nah. Just go. Just read your part.
Harry's becoming even more lost over his grief and feelings with Dumbledore because of that new article in the Daily Prophet.
You started out so happy sounding. You're like, Harry's grieving.
I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday.
Every day.
Creature returns finally with Mundungus, and they get it out of him that the locket has fallen into the hands of one Dolores Jane.
Ew.
Lucy Locket Foster Pocket. Is that the Kitty Fisher found it?
I've never
I
heard
have
that.
Never heard
Not
that.
Not a penny something, blah, blah. I don't know.
I knew
is that a
lot
thing?
Of those, but I've never heard that one.
Well. Lucy Locket. It's a nursery rhyme.
Oh.
From 1842. Oh, there's a dark meaning. Goosey Goosey Gander may be about religious persecution. Lucy Locket is about 18th. Oh, no. Can't say that. We're going to move on.
Why didn't you tell me off air?
I sounded like a velociraptor.
Nice. Can you text me that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It's a BBC article. Mm.
Can I sing your first line?
Yes, I was going to ask you to.
Katie, sing it with me.
Okay.
August slipped away into a moment in time. Because it was never mine.
It's August in the book, everybody. So I added that little little lyric there for everybody. So August is a hot month. It is wearing on, and Grimald Place is, you know, hidden away, and all these oddly dressed visitors are out and about in the square. And I love this little recap because we don't really need it, because we know about Grimald Place, because this is the seventh book. But we get it anyway.
It's always nice.
Quote, the muggles who lived in Grimald Place had long since accepted the amusing mistake in the numbering that had caused number 11 to sit beside number 13. And yet the square was now attracting a trickle of visitors who seemed to find the anomaly most intriguing. Barely a day passed without one or two people arriving in Grimald Place with no other purpose, or so it seemed, than to lean against the railings of the fence railings facing numbers 11 and 13, watching the join between the two houses.
The way this chapter starts out, it almost reads like a new book. Like, I like it. Like, it just, like,
it does.
Forces you to, like, be like, oh, time has passed now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an interesting thought, though, because, like, I do feel like this chapter is almost the beginning of the next part of this book, right? Because this is about to be their last morning at Grimald Place.
Yeah. They never get to eat the steak and kidney pie.
They sure don't.
No, I get really sad about that.
I don't know why.
I'm sure that
I get really sad about that, and then I get really happy that they have something to eat before they go into the Battle of Hogwarts. I'm like, good. They need to do this on a full stomach.
Yeah. Dumb. I thought the same thing.
Just thinking about food.
All the time.
So the Death Eaters that are stationed there, which we know that they're Death Eaters because this is a reread, they're never the same 2 days in a row. And this, I think, really leads me to believe that they don't know who is in whatever this is, wherever they're looking for. They just know that it's probably an order member, if not somebody who is super supportive of that side of this war, who is using Voldemort's name. I don't think that they know that Harry Potter and crew are inside whatever this inside is. They just know it's protected from them.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, whenever, usually the Death Eaters are named if it's, like, an important event, and they're not named. Like, they don't recognize any of them. So, like, if I feel they would.
They do in a second. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's only one.
Yeah.
But it's only one.
You'd think it'd be, like, if they knew Harry was in there, it'd be more than one. Like,
sort of
Death Eater.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me question it, well, I guess I don't think that they knew that it was Harry, but I think that they thought that maybe it was someone hiding a muggle born who is of age, because there were even more of them there on September 1st.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, point. They expected that was, like, a chance for them to see whoever it was. Yeah. Because...
Which is kind of dumb, though, because, like, if you're hiding, why would you go to Hogwarts?
Right.
So, like, them sending extra people on September 1st is just, honestly, it's really silly to me, but, you know.
Yeah.
Death Eaters are gonna Death Eater. So most Londoners who passed by this area were pretty used to eccentric dressers. I think that this is definitely a high wizard area if they're used to people dressing eccentrically like this, because we know that's a big time throwback to the older books, because I feel like we're so used to seeing them dress normal, quote unquote, I did air quotes, muggle dress because of the movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're not supposed to know how to dress like a muggle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What's his face at the Quidditch World Cup with his kilt and his galoshes and his trench coat or whatever he was wearing?
Oh my gosh.
He likes a breeze.
Mm-hmm. Archie.
Who doesn't, you know? Who doesn't like a nice breeze?
I've got a dress on today.
You like a nice breeze?
I like a nice breeze.
I like a nice breeze.
Oh my God.
They took little notice usually, but like once in a while, just because of the heat, they appear to be like, why are you wearing these long cloaks right now? Like, it is hot. So occasionally one of these Death Eater watchers outside number 12 Grimmauld Place would get really excited, but it would only last a second, and they would be like super disappointed later. And this, we find out a little later on, is because they're apparating precisely onto the top step and flashing a scandalous little bit of ankle or elbow from underneath the invisibility cloak.
Thanks, Remus, for that idea.
Yeah, that's true.
So on the first day of September, there were even more people lurking in the square than ever before. There were 6 men in long cloaks watching. Why not 7? Come on.
If it was 7, they'd be too powerful and they would discover number 12.
That's true. That's true. So they're gazing between the houses of 11 and 13. The day is winding down. It's beginning to rain. And then there's one of these moments where there was a flash of something that could have been exciting. Quote, the man with the twisted face pointed and his closest companion, a podgy, pallid man, started forward. But a moment later, they had relaxed into their previous state of inactivity, looking frustrated and disappointed. So the twisted face Death Eater is Antonin Dolhov.
My least favorite Death Eater.
I did not look up this podgy, pallid man. Do we want to put that on the Google?
What's podgy mean?
I think stout.
Oh, okay. Got it.
I can't remember who that one would be. Not Raoul. Raoul's big. Big and blonde, right?
The guess is Amicus Caro.
Really? Shouldn't you be preparing lessons on what you're going to teach?
What is he teaching?
Teachers don't work over the summer, guys.
No. Is it Amicus that teaches defense?
One teaches defense, one teaches
I always studies. Get them mixed up. Amicus
it's the
is
girl.
The girl.
It teaches muggle studies.
The boy, though. Amicus is boy.
Amicus Electo. Is the boy, and Electo is the...
I always think they're opposite.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I don't know why.
Me too.
But Electo taught muggle studies, so Amicus...
Muggle studies.
Right.
Dark arts.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's, so... I literally, in Google, just typed Podgy Pallid Man Death Eater, and it came up on the wiki as Amicus Caro. So.
Okay.
He was squat and lumpy with a lopsided leer and a wheezy giggle, much like his sister. Hunched, he had a pallid, doughy face and tiny eyes.
Doughy.
Tiny eyes. Is Caro on the sacred 28?
Let's look it up.
These physical features of these.
Yes.
Okay. So we at some point I need to get talking with some scientist peeps who know about genes, because I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the Gaunts. I want to talk about the Caros, because I'm wondering about these people.
Yeah.
And these pure blood families all shacking up. All right.
Interwoven.
Yes. So inside number 12, Grimmauld Place. Harry was just getting inside after he was the one to flash a scandalous elbow at the Death Eaters, you know.
Harry.
He went through all the protective spells with his stolen daily profit in his arms, and he's coming in to share some unsavory news. But before we get this news, Harry notes how much things have changed there since they had arrived. And I think this is nice for us to see. Like you said, it was like the start of a book at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like a refresh for all of them.
Yeah.
Which is just so short-lived.
Yeah.
It's mostly short-lived for us because it has been weeks.
Yeah.
It's been weeks. So, quote, the kitchen was almost unrecognizable. Every surface now shone. Are you jealous, Petunia? Copper pots and pans. yeah, honestly. Had been burnished into a rosy glow. The wooden tabletop gleamed, and the goblets and plates already laid for dinner glinted in the light from a merrily blazing fire on which a cauldron was simmering. Nothing in the room, however, was more dramatically different than the house elf, who now came hurrying towards Harry, dressed in a snowy white towel, his ear hair as clean as and fluffy as cotton wool, Regulus's locket bouncing on his thin chest. And honestly, I'm just happy he's happy.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, whatever happens, I'm just happy that he's happy.
Same.
And he's finding joy, and he's taking care of himself.
Yeah.
And he's got purpose. It's terrible to not feel as if you have a purpose.
Yeah.
And I, in my life, have had ups and downs where I have felt like, what is my purpose? Or like, is this my only purpose here? Like, putting yourself into a box. But like, he's coming out of the funk, you know, and he feels good. And I do, I'll write it down later, but like, I have a question about when he comes into the Battle of Hogwarts, because he says a couple of different things, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it on the internet, which I don't think I am, like, from a chat with the author about him, and says fight for my master, and then he also talks about Regulus. So I'm like, talking about Regulus only, or are you talking about Harry? Like,
I think it's Harry.
But
too.
If he's talking about Harry too, that's a Harry. Huge deal.
I know.
Yeah.
I guess I always took it as Harry.
Because he still calls them masters.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, anywho. Okay. So, he tells Harry to take his shoes off, and he takes the cloak to hang it up. And something I wanted to note here is that Harry trusts him enough to have him take this cloak to hang, something that is so incredibly important to him. He doesn't know it's a Hallow yet. All he knows, like, it's a really great cloak. I got it from my dad. It was passed down to me. But he's like totally fine with letting Creature take this from him and hang it. Quote, seizing the invisibility cloak and slouching off to hang it on a hook on the wall beside a number of old-fashioned robes that had been freshly laundered. And here's another thing I was thinking about. I know that they're getting, like, laundry done, and they're preparing for this, you know, break-in to the Ministry of Magic. But I just wonder who these robes had once belonged to. Were they Regulus's at one point in time? And Creature felt good enough to let the trio borrow them? They're freshly laundered for some reason, and he's not going to wear them.
Yeah.
So is he doing laundry for the trio to be like, hey, I'll give these to you?
Or are they, like, did he want them to just hang there?
Could.
Like, an homage to whoever's they were, but he cleaned them.
Could be. It would make him feel less lonely, or, like, more normal.
Yeah.
So on the table, there's a bunch of scribbled notes, hand-drawn maps, and Harry throws the newspaper down on top of all of us with its blaring headline of Severus Snape confirmed as Hogwarts headmaster. Ron and Hermione are like immediately outraged. And
immediately no.
And Hermione snatches up the paper before any of them can, and she reads out loud to everybody. Quote, Severus Snape, long-standing potions master at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, was today appointed headmaster in the most important of several staffing changes at the ancient school. Following the resignation of the previous Muggle Studies teacher, Alecto Carroll will take over the post while her brother Amicus fills the position of Defense Against the Dark Arts professor. I welcome the opportunity to uphold our finest wizarding traditions and values. Like committing murder and cutting off people's ears, I suppose. Snape, headmaster, Snape in Dumbledore's study, Merlin's pants, she shrieked, both making Harry and Ron jump. She leapt up from the table and hurtled from the room, shouting as she went, I'll be back in a minute.
Merlin's pants.
Ron finds this hilarious that she says Merlin's pants.
What is he? He's like, she must be upset.
Yeah. But he just keeps reading the article, and he is kind of thinking out loud, and he's like, I don't think that the other teachers will stand for this. There's McGonagall, Flitwick, Sprout. They all know how Dumbledore died. And then he mentions the Karrows. He was like, who are the Karrows? And Harry explains that they're Death Eaters and that they were at the top of the tower when Snape killed Dumbledore. So Electo is the sister. And again, she's going to be teaching Muggle studies this year. It's her.
She's in Ravenclaw Tower.
She's stunned by Luna when mm-hmm. she summons the Death Eaters to the Ravenclaw Tower.
Yes. That was louder than I thought it would be.
Magically tied up by McGee.
Mm-hmm.
And then Amicus teaches Defense Against the Dark Arts this year. And
AKA Dark Arts.
According to Neville.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Harry Crucio's him.
Yep.
Is he the one that spits?
Yep.
On McGee?
Yep.
You shouldn't have done that.
He spat at you.
Crucio!
Yep. Also, like, how do the teachers have any say? This is kind of like what Harry is now thinking. Like,
they don't.
Voldemort and the Ministry are behind Snape, so they'll probably be given the ultimatum of teach or go to Azkaban.
Or worse.
Or die.
Yeah.
Or die.
Yeah.
So Harry thinks that actually they'll stay to try to protect the students, which is mm-hmm. what they end up doing.
Correct. That has to be the most stressful year of their teaching careers. And they've seen some stuff.
They have seen some stuff.
Do you know what's interesting is when we find out the punishment for Ginny and crew trying to steal the Sword of Gryffindor back? And they get their punishment is to be with Hagrid in the Forbidden Forest. That's shout out to book one, by the way. But also, that should have put a light bulb off in my head. Because yeah. Harry says, big deal. And I should have also been like, big deal. Wait a minute.
Right. I'm actually surprised that wasn't like more of a red flag to like the other Death Eaters who were a part of the staff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean that's their punishment? You know?
Yeah.
Because it was so obviously
like, why can't I put them in torture? Why can't I torture them in the dungeon?
Yeah.
They're torturing other students, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Tiffany.
Yep. We just fell for all of it.
I just read.
So Creature serves them French onion soup.
Oh, this sounds so good.
French onion.
Me too. And his cooking had gotten so much better since Harry had given him Regulus's locket. And Harry tells Ron about how there are still a load of Death Eaters watching the house, and it's more than likely because it's September 1st. And this, I copied this from the book. This is like Harry thinking about the Hogwarts Express. This is Harry. Nope. In his mind's eye, Harry seemed to see the Scarlet steam engine as he and Ron had once followed it by air, shimmering between fields and hills, a rippling scarlet caterpillar. He was sure Ginny, Neville, and Luna were sitting together at this moment, perhaps wondering where he, Ron, and Hermione were, or debating how best to undermine Snape's new regime.
Was he a seer? I bet that was happening.
It totally was happening.
100%.
So Harry tells Ron that he landed badly on the step and the Death Eaters nearly saw him. And Ron is like, oh, I do that every time. Which
cash.
Is funny because that goes back to the very beginning of this chapter of them saying they've seen glimpses of moments. And it's because of all the times that they've been going to the ministry to watch. And then they almost get seen whenever they come back or leave.
Right.
Yeah.
So Hermione comes back and Ron says, and what in the name of Merlin's most baggy Y fronts was that about?
Thank you for looking that up, because I didn't know.
So fun fact, I had absolutely no freaking idea what that could reference.
Is that the crotch of pants?
It literally means like tidy whities.
Oh.
when there's like a Y in like Y.
You know, like briefs.
Blessings. Sounds fake.
A Y-shaped front on pants, aka tidy whities.
I thought it was pants. That's better than Ron being like Merlin's.
I know. Don't they use the term pants for underwear sometimes over in the UK?
Sometimes, I think so. I don't know. Underpants.
Oh, look, Janine just said that. Thanks.
When you're shopping around for a wireless provider, don't you always think, what's the catch? Well, I heard for a limited time, all of Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. And I thought, what's the catch? But after I talked to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople, and instead they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. All plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk and text, and they're delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you bring your phone number along with all of your existing contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/swish. That's mintmobile.com/swish. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/swish. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. One thing we love doing, taking ideas and making them real. That's what this podcast is, and we couldn't do this without a ton of help from amazing people. So when we started selling online, we found the perfect business partner. Yep, it's Shopify.
Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide.
Shopify grows with your business no matter how far or how big you grow. Thanks to an endless list of integrations and third-party apps, anything you can think of, from on-demand printing to accounting to chatbots, everything you need to revolutionize your business.
Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools.
And once you've reached your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers into buyers.
What we love about Shopify is how, no matter how much you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take your business to the next level.
Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere.
Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/swishandflick, all lowercase.
Go to shopify.com/swishandflick to take your business to the next level today.
shopify.com/swishandflick.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Hermione was carrying a large framed picture.
She's so smart. I know.
Really. Like, so this is the portrait of Phineas Nigellus, and she is literally shoving it into her bag. And Hermione basically explains he has a portrait in Dumbledore's office. So, like, he could tell Snape where we are or what we're up to or something
like that.
So now,
already has been,
but right? Like, be thankful.
Right. So now all he'll see is the inside of her bag.
I love it.
So Hermione asks Harry what happened today for him while he was watching the ministry entrance. He said nothing. He watched it for 7 hours. There was no sign of Umbridge.
It's a lot of numbers.
And he saw Mr. Weasley, though, and he looks fine. And they, as a group, had collectively decided that it was too dangerous to communicate with Mr. Weasley. But it was nice to see him every now and then. And Ron said that he thinks that they don't see Umbridge because his dad told him most ministry people use the flu. And she is just, like, too important. She wouldn't walk to work like that. So then
Pshaw.
Hermione asks about the funny old witch and the little wizard in the navy robes.
And Ron's like, oh yeah, the bloke from Magical Maintenance. And Hermione like stops like mid spoon to mouth and's like, how do you know that? How do you know the Magical Maintenance wears blue robes?
Mm-hmm.
And Ron's like, oh, my dad said everyone in Magical Maintenance does that. And Hermione's like,
she's so mad,
instantly like in panic mode, like, you never told us that. She starts going through all the notes and maps, comes up with nothing about navy blue robes. And Ron's like, does it really matter?
It's funny because it does for him, because he's Magical Maintenance as what's his face,
Reg
Cattermole,
Reginald.
I wondered if like navy had a significant, you know, colors, we track colors in this all the time from Adobe. Like Adobe, Photoshop, Creative Suite. They what? Said navy oh. blue. Are you having a cat food moment? They
yeah,
said
I was
navy...
like, how did Adobe Photoshop come into play here?
I know.
I was so confused. I'm sorry.
Because they do colors. It represents stability, trust, and convention. I don't know. Stability and trust because they're working on maintenance, I guess.
You want your maintenance men to be, or maintenance people.
Peeps.
To be stable and trustworthy.
It's true.
And know what they're doing.
It's true.
So it makes sense.
So Ron's like, does that really matter? And she says it all matters. She's really not wrong.
Ron, it all matters.
Because the ministry's obviously going to be on high alert for intruders. Especially three specific intruders. So every little detail does matter. And Ron goes, blimey, Hermione, I forgot one little thing. And I feel like this is just like a look into their future.
Yeah.
When they would, like, when they bicker. And I just really like it. So Hermione's in the middle of pointing out that there's probably nowhere in the whole world right now more dangerous for them than the ministry. When Harry interrupts and says, we should do it tomorrow. Of course, both of them are like, what?
I would have pooped my pants. I think they did. Tomorrow? No. How about like next year? Yeah. Sounds good.
Well, they clearly were not prepared.
No.
No.
Harry does have a good point, though. He's like, even if we stake out the ministry for another month, we're not going to be better prepared than we are now. And the longer we put it off, the further the locket could be.
Do you really think they could have been any more prepared than they were, though? Like, what else could they have done?
Well, they needed an exit strategy, for one. Yeah, they didn't have that. And they didn't have a plan for being separated.
That's true.
Kind of so surprised.
You just have to plan for everything to go wrong, I would assume.
Which is a little bit surprising that Hermione didn't think about exit strategy, but it's a lot.
Take it out.
Fine. Oh my god.
It'll all work out.
Harry says, there's already a good chance Umbridge has chucked it away. The thing doesn't open. Unless, said Ron, she's found a way of opening it and she's now possessed. And Harry says, wouldn't make any difference to her. She's so evil in the first place. It's true. And the Horcrux doesn't affect her at all because she's that evil. So Hermione's deep in thought. And it specifically says, like, Harry directs his attention to her to talk to her. And the way that they have this conversation, it just shows me how much they've grown together and how they all know each other so well and really like bring out the best in one another. Like, he knows how to talk to her and reassure her. We know everything that's important. We know they've stopped apparition in and out of the ministry. We know only the most senior ministry members are allowed to connect their homes to the flu network now, because Ron heard those two unspeakables complaining about it. And we know roughly where Umbridge's office is because of what you heard that bearded bloke saying to his mate. And then Hermione butts in and says, I'll be on level one. Dolores wants to see me. Exactly, said Harry. And we know you get it in using those funny coins or tokens or whatever they are, because I saw that witch borrowing one from her friend.
It was just like a Chuck E. Cheese token.
Yeah. But we haven't got any.
That don't exist anymore. Have you been lately?
They don't have tokens anymore?
No.
Is it like, what is it?
It's a digital card.
I don't go there.
It's a digital card.
I heard that the one nearest to us, they had parents like fighting. And I'm like, I'm not about to go to a Chuck E. Cheese where people throw down.
I actually took Evie there and it was a lot of fun if you go like during the week. And
there's a bowling alley that has obviously like bowling. Yeah. It's got a nice restaurant and then it's got like an arcade game area.
Nice.
And I was like, I want my birthday party here. Like I do. Because it's got skee ball.
That's awesome.
Skee ball. Skee ball's life, man.
Skee ball is so fun.
There was one year we went to the fair when I was little. I mean, we went to the fair every year. But there was one year where my mom and sister could not find my dad and I. This was before cell phone time. Mm-hmm. And we literally, my dad spent like $50 on skee ball. And it was like a quarter a game back then. We were there for hours.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's awesome. So Hermione then panics. We don't have any of the tokens. And then Harry's like, if the plan works, we will have. And she's like, I don't know, Harry. I don't know. There's an awful lot of things that could go wrong. So much relies on chance. And like, yes, but like, it doesn't matter how prepared you are. There's still so much that's chance. Like, yeah.
It's always going to be a lot of it's going to depend on chance.
And especially here.
Yeah. And they were more prepared for Gringotts and that still all went to crap too. Right. So yeah.
Right. I don't know to say if it's only a movieism, but Harry being like, every time we plan something, we get there, it all like goes wrong.
All breaks loose. Yeah. I think he says. Yeah. I do think that is a movieism.
Yeah. But it's true.
But it's a good movieism.
Exactly. So Harry can tell they're scared, which, you know, that makes me sad because They're just kids. And he's not exactly confident either, but he's sure this is the time to put their plan into action. They spent the last 4 weeks, we get like an actual time frame of how long it's been, taking turns under the cloak and spying on the entrance to the ministry. They would tail ministry workers, eavesdrop on their conversations, and they were kind of a little stalkerish, but, you know, with good intent, right? Learned which ones would appear alone at the same time every day.
That is creepy as heck.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I said it was creepy as I'm like tickling my face with a
bear claw.
That's creepy.
Oh my god.
Who knows?
So they slowly built maps and notes of their plan. I just like imagine what those maps looked like just based on like someone saying that Dolores Umbridge was on the first floor and this person was on that floor. Like, it's the Ministry of Magic. There probably are no laws of like, it could probably go anywhere and everywhere, right? Because of magic.
What?
So like,
like there are levels. Like,
it's gotta be huge. Yeah, it's not like you can just be like, oh well.
I guess, are you saying like, well, how big is level one? Is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, and like, I don't know. Like, there's an
elevator. I mean, at least you know that you're looking for Dolores's office, though, and like, she is a pretty high-ranking official, so I would assume
there would be like signage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just feel like no laws apply because there's magic.
That's true.
So it could just like. Again, you can only prepare so much for this kind of situation.
True.
Yeah.
I might
Thanks for just trying to decipher what my brain was trying to formulate.
Anytime.
What are you doing, Tiff?
I was just making sure that Gryffindor got the bingo.
Oh my god.
You did.
I'm writing it down so we can announce it later.
Ohio.
So Ron agrees to tomorrow, but is like, but Hermione should stay behind. And she's like, oh, don't start that again. I thought we sorted that out. Ron points out she's on the list of Muggleborns who didn't show up for their interrogation, which makes me absolutely sick. And then Hermione's like, yeah, well, you're supposed to be dying a spattergroid at the Burrow. So if anyone shouldn't go, it's Harry. He's got a 10,000 galleon price on his head. Mm-hmm. And he goes, fine, I'll stay here. Let me know if you ever defeat Voldemort, won't you? And I'm glad they laughed because, like, this is a tense situation. They're talking about raiding the Ministry of Magic and, like, posing as people. Like, it's a tense, scary situation. So I'm glad that they have a moment to laugh. Mm-hmm. Harry doesn't get to enjoy it, though, because his scar starts hurting.
Ha!
I love how he's like...
Ah!
you know?
Yeah!
I was just brushing my hair away because Hermione's like, what's going on?
She, of course,
notices.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And Ron's talking about how they have to just separate separately because they don't all fit under the cloak anymore. And that's just another reminder of how much time has passed and that they're kids, but they're not kids.
Yeah.
And then that's where we cut for now before Harry has to run to the bathroom.
Hot snakes and mulgrew. Scars and hot snakes.
That was my band in high school.
Oh, man.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too.
Oh, wait, I lost the questions. Where did they go?
Okay. I'm going to eat a high chew when we're done.
Blake, if the protective spells broke for all the other residences associated with the order, why didn't it break for Grimmauld Place? Were all of the houses under the...
Secret keeper thing?
Yeah. Did they all have secret keepers?
I don't know if they had
that.
Did
they just have... I think that's the difference.
That's my guess as to why.
Are we talking about, like, when they come back from Ministry craziness?
No.
What are you talking
about? Like, at the start of this book.
Yeah.
Like, why did, like, the Burrows... What? Like, why did the Burrows' protections break at the wedding, but not Grimmauld Place? Did the Burrow have a secret keeper? I don't think that it did, didn't it?
They all did, so it was... I think so, because it was...
Maybe because they don't know about Grimmauld Place. Do they not know?
Who?
The Ministry?
No, I don't think they did. I think that that place has been hidden for a long time.
Yeah.
And it would be a whole different secret. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if the Burrow had...
They knew where to
attack. The Thedalius to Charm on it. It would be, like, newer with those people. So, like, whatever kind of magic... I have to stop. whatever... I'm like... Whatever kind of magic the Ministry, like... allowed the Death Eaters to use to break those charms on the safe houses. Maybe it has to be specific to those people. So, like, I feel like it would be pretty easy for people to figure out where the Burrow was.
Right.
Or where the Tonks family lived.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because they were probably tracking them for a long time. Whereas Grimmauld Place was hidden, and the only way they found out about it was when Harry and them took what's-his-face into the secret.
Right.
McKenna suggested, like, were the Burrow wards Ministry wards, so when the Ministry fell, the Burrow was vulnerable.
Some of them.
Some of them were.
Right. Some of them were from Scrungemere United.
Right.
And then he died.
Dusty Fur asks, who's your favorite Death Eater?
None.
What?
I think it's because Katie said that her least favorite Death Eater was Dala.
Oh, so you have to answer this.
What?
I don't know. Well, you're the one with favorites.
My favorite,
I love them all equally.
My favorite Death Eater is Draco Malfoy.
Oh.
Regulus.
If I gotta be a baddie, I think Bellatrix. She's fantastically bad.
Tiff just goes for the jugular.
She's terrible.
How is that a cop out?
It is a cop out.
He's got the tattoo.
Yeah. He counts.
I was like, what?
No, Kendra asks, if you had a choice of any Hogwarts subject to teach, which subject would you want to be professor of?
Care of magical creatures.
I think potions.
I would be fun.
Tracks for you.
Potions.
Ours all, I feel like, fit our personalities.
What did you say?
Charms. Because I'm charming.
Okay, Gryffindor. Okay, I'm going to do one more.
Know what Harry could teach? Divination.
I feel that. But it's only for him. You can't do this, but here's what I do. Which is basically divination anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Sarker, would you have been able to not talk to a parent or guardian the way Ron had to with his dad?
What?
Would you have been able to, like, not talk to your parent if you saw them the way that Ron did?
Yeah,
because it was life and death. Yeah. Only because of that. It would suck.
It would be terrible.
But if I was, like, the reason that something happened to them was because I talked to them?
I would struggle. I would be like, why don't you just come with me to Grandma's place? Okay.
But what if you mom's like, alone?
What if you, like, magicked a note into their pocket?
Like the, the little birds that Malfoy sends.
Yeah.
Like a ministry
of him
memo.
Getting electrocuted on his right? That's your favorite.
I would really struggle with that.
Yeah, no, it would be terrible. It would suck. But I would do it.
Discord Discourse, Bree had said, I just hope that Creature understands why they had to leave and didn't feel abandoned.
I know.
Well, I think he did.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long he took to understand.
I wonder if the Death Eaters did show up and then he would have known, right?
Like, well, if they come in and are like, where's Harry Potter and are torturing him, which maybe they did. Oh, I mean, we don't know. Right? But like, he would know.
Yeah, he
knew
something.
They had to go.
I think that he was well aware that they were off to do something dangerous.
And he came for the battle.
Yeah.
All is fine.
Woof, woof. All right. Fan story time.
Fan story.
Oh my gosh, look how nice. Phonetics.
Right? I know. Because I would have not gotten this name correct. This comes from Kaylee Rondo from March of 2022. They say, hey, everybody. So I'm way late to the party, but I only started listening to the podcast maybe a month ago. I'm currently on Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 17.
What? A month and they listen to that much?
That's quite a bit.
That's a lot.
So here's my fan story. Also, before I read this next part.
Oh,
I'm
there's
going
a
to
lot.
Do,
there's a lot of triggers.
I'm going to do. Oh, yeah. You are correct.
Yeah.
Trigger warning for SA. For cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Death of a parent. And abuse.
Yes.
Did I get them all?
Okay. I think so.
I don't want to. If I come across another one, I will say trigger beforehand. I remember being around 9 years old and possibly in third grade when I first watched the first two movies. But because I've always struggled with reading and comprehension, I always felt so discouraged from reading the intimidating books. When I was in fifth grade, my parents would let me stay home from school almost the whole semester because they found out that my teacher was getting inappropriate with students. This resulted in me watching the first two movies on repeat for weeks, and I'll never forget when my mom's friend finally got Prisoner of Azkaban on DVD. I watched it way more than she did. That year, 2004, I got the first 5 books for Christmas from my aunt and decided I'd give reading them a try. I read the first two and started Prisoner of Azkaban and lost interest in virtually everything in my life because of everything I had going on in my life. My mom was dying of cancer, my dad was abusive, and I had an inappropriate teacher. This is what made me relate to Harry so well. In short, I gave up on reading for a very long time. Listening to Stephen Fry read the books and your podcast lately has been the only thing I find enjoyable. And quite frankly, I probably would have never finished the books if it weren't for your podcast and the audiobooks, of course. Mm. It will probably be another century before I get to hear my fan story because I'm so behind. Mm. But thank you. From Kaylee Rondo.
Kaylee.
Oi.
Kaylee. You said some really kind words, and I hope you're doing okay.
Yes.
I hope you're doing better. I'm really glad that you have the books to listen to. They're a comfort for all of us, so we 100% understand that.
Specifically the audiobooks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that we can be some sort of comfort for you, and I just hope you're doing all right.
And I'm proud that we were a part of you finishing the books.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thank you so much for your story and reaching out to us. And
I want to know if you're caught up.
Yeah, I would assume.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll hear your story.
Maybe.
Let us know.
Look, Tiff.
You did your job. I'm so proud
of
you.
Katie packed The joke book.
The joke and book pick the is jokes here. Already.
Wow.
All right. Why don't the house ghosts fight?
I don't know, Katie. Why?
They don't have the guts.
That's good. Right? I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
If you would like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at tiffswish_flick. We got a Gryffindor bingo from Marguerite. Congrats, Marguerite. And the standings are...
Dang it, Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw in first, Gryffindor in second, Hufflepuff in third, and Slytherin in fourth.
All right, Gryffindors, we need another bingo. Marguerite, I'm proud of you. Let's keep going. This is for Merlin's baggy, saggy Y-fronts.
Y-front pants.
Oh, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just in my voice! Only 3 minutes late. That's really good for us. I'm ready.
That's
now.
Not even that late really for us.
That's not even late. We're still early.
Yeah.
Girl math.
Yeah. Swish math.
Swish math.
That's swish math. All right, here we go.
This is chair. You
or all I did was settle.
You have a squeaky butt.
Shall we? Just okay. Won't move.
Yeah, good. Okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.